is child abuse. A child something that they know full well is not true. And to start this confusion, and it's going on. Dr. Dobson talked about this. They were giving homosexual health classes in kindergarten and preschool years ago when Dr. Dobson still had his program on at 5 a.m. because I would hear it in the morning. He hasn't been on at that hour in Phoenix for years. So I know this is going on. Last week or two, I heard from one of my girlfriends or friends in Phoenix that her granddaughter had been given a survey question. She's in grade school. That she was supposed to sign that she would agree that Tommy wants to be Sally, and is that okay with her? And the sweet little cherub, she said, I can't do that. That's not right. God created Tommy to be Tommy. You know, the wisdom of a child, mm-hmm. right? And here are the adults trying to... It's out of control. Is exactly what it is. It's out of control. And in many ways, we have allowed it to go there with our silence, with our being, we don't want to offend anybody. We want to be tolerant. We want to be loving. We want to be kind. But telling people lies about eternal truth is not loving. It's you are not loving this person. And so we have to even understand what is our terminology? Where are we coming from? That we would blatantly lie to a person just because, and the reality of it is that the bottom line is you don't care a hoot about that person. What you care about is what they think of you. Which is nothing more than in, you'll never be the same, the sin of man-pleasing. All you care about is what they think about you, because you obviously do not care about them. And so that this nation has become so complacent and so apathetic, and abortion is a humongous, as our sister Danielle says, in this world, it is murder of children and pastors who will not address abortion because they don't want to hurt anybody, because so many women in the congregation have probably had abortions. Well, I'm sorry, but it's for that very woman that you should be talking about it and offering her forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And offering her the freedom from the shame of having made that decision. And it's true, there are people out there, I've seen the interviews. That's another thing Ray Comfort does, is tries to get people to understand abortion and the sin of abortion. And there are people out there who think they have that perfect right and nobody should be able to confront them at all or anything. Okay, that's a group of people that will have to be dealt with by somebody, somewhere, sometime. And they need prayer. But the very people in your church, the people who are sitting there studying the Bible with you, are basically kindred spirits. And we have to care about those people. We have to care that they live the horror of the shame. I don't care what anybody says, it wounds the heart and mind and body of a person, and it kills the other one. And there cannot be any such thing as, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with that. These things have to be addressed, and they have to be brought up, and they have to be talked about. And the pastors cannot be in fear of losing their congregations over these issues. It's here and no further. And so that's what these prayer hours deal with every day. They pick one day is the church, Sunday is the church, Monday is either military or the police or pro-life or youth or our schools or every day, and there's a moderator who leads the prayer time, and everybody is welcome to come into the call, be heard, pray, sing a song, read a scripture, something. And it is so, it just lifts you up, because to have so many people praying, and God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. The Supreme Court is now again in session. They have come into session. They are now reviewing the cases that they will hear. They receive about 9,000 cases, and they only listen to or allow 90. That's a huge, huge. Okay, one of these cases, two of them I know specifically. One is the testimony of women wounded by abortion have a lawsuit that they want to bring before the Supreme Court for hearing. And the Supreme Court has on other occasions said they will not hear it. They don't want to hear the testimony. And the other one is this case in Virginia where the bathroom, the transgender bathroom, the court decided in favor of, yes, the little boy should be able to use the little girl's bathroom. And the court put the decision on hold because they wanted to wait until the Supreme Court could decide this thing. If the Supreme Court decides that they do not want to hear this case, it will stand as, from now on, all bathrooms will be just, if you want to be in the girls' bathroom and you're a boy, you can. There'll be no. And, you know, the whole issue of the Supreme Court making these laws, they are not legislators. They are interpreters of law. But they have been given the permission, and our society is allowing them to make law based on their decision. And it's transforming our whole nation. I mean, we are going down so fast that prayer, prayer, prayer. And so what I wanted to do with this hour is we would form little beehive things, and we will put forth the topic, because this is how they do it. They put forth the topic and then pray over that issue among your little group and cry out to God for these things, because either the Lord hears our prayers and transforms our churches so that we begin to really speak the truth. You know, I was raised Lutheran. In August, the Lutheran Church had their synod meeting in New Orleans, Louisiana. And they totally divested from, and it was a vote of like 700 to 100 or 7,000 to 1,000 or 7. It was 7-1, something. Unbelievable, the number of people who want to be rid of Israel and the Jewish people. And sister, brother, we are grafted in. We are grafted in. And we can't let these things just, oh well, yeah, that's their right. That is not their right. They are in sin, I'm sorry, but they're doing the wrong thing. And when we talk with one another, we as Christians, as people who know better, have to be able to enter into the dialogue with truth. You know, the people that you talk to, they're either saved or they're unsaved. They either know the Lord Jesus or they don't. There isn't any other category. But the world would have you believe that there's all these different religions and there's all these different gods and there's all these different... When you have the truth, the onus is on you to... You have to be a light. you have to, like we talked this morning, your well, your vessel has to be clean and it has to be pouring forth living water. We are here for a purpose. We're not just here to get through this lifetime and take care of all of our stuff and leave. We are to have made a difference. And we aren't. America is not. Do you know that more missionaries are coming to America? God is moving missionaries from other countries to come to America because America has lost it. You know, in China, they just finished now, this last 3 days was called China Mission 2030. How many have heard of Louise Bush? 20? No, it's 414. They're going to these different countries and they're training up the children to pray between the ages of 4 and 14 to cry out for their countries, for the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, not encouraging your kids to try this, try that, try something, to pray, to cry out to the Lord. And these children, their hearts are so willing. And so, you know, years ago, we had a Michael Brown came to us, and he told us he had been to India, and he had watched the children praying in India on their faces, lamenting before the Lord over the sins, their sins, little children, and crying out for repentance. And we need that prayer force in our country. We need that prayer force in our lives. We need to be praying about the things. And the thing I like about this prayer call is it's impossible to take it. I try, I keep my notebook. I write down all the stuff and I write down all the verses and everything. But, it goes through, you enter in that prayer hour. But I'm amazed that during the day, the Lord reminds you of something, and then you pray. Right there you pray. Yes, Lord, I remember that. And you pray about it. This is the thing, that we should have an attitude of prayer, because one of the pastors read the, it's in Proverbs, I want to say 5:6, but it could be 6 something else. It's the 6 things that God hates. No, the 7. And the last one is gossip. And he said, you know, if you were taking all the things that are in your mind to prayer instead of gossip, you could wipe one of these things off the list for yourself, you know. And I think a lot of these things, we should really take these verses to heart, because the Bible is God's instructions to us. And pray, pray, pray. And so this is what I'd like to do. Know how you all can you all hear me, obviously? Good. You haven't drifted off yet. Yeah. So if you would go into circles, maybe of 3 or 4, no more than 4, because we want everybody to have the opportunity to pray, and we've only got, what, a half hour, 40 minutes left. So we want everybody to have a chance to pray, okay? And I'm going to follow the format that they used for the 9/11 service, which was really what Susan Rao and Kay Horner and all of these people have come to understand, is that 9/11 was a wake-up call for America. And God is sorrowed by the fact that we have missed that wake-up call. We have not repented. We have not seen an awakening, a real spiritual awakening in our nation. It should have come after such a devastation as 9/11. And to put 9/11 even into perspective, 3,000 people died when the towers came down. 3,000 babies a day are aborted. So 3,000 people died when the towers came down, and 3,000 babies a day are aborted.
Oh my.
And so we are looking at
these things go before the Lord
on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. And we have got to become serious about our prayer lives, about how we help to encourage other people to be in prayer. And those of you who live in families who have children, I think of this Samuel on the prayer call. He delights everybody on the prayer call because he's a young person. And when he comes on and prays, it's unbelievable.
You have to get on that.
And so this is what families are for, is to be raising up the children to pray and cry out to God in that way. So we're going to start with the first prayer group is our thanksgiving and praise to our living God. And we start out with thanking the Lord for our lives. If you have a verse, a Bible verse that you have in your heart, do you want to say the Bible verse? But just spend this time, we'll spend a couple of minutes, pray in thanksgiving regarding God's goodness to you and to your family. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to pray. Thank you that we still have the freedom to pray.
Yeah.
Thank you that we can still come together and pray in public, in open, that we are not physically abused or persecuted for our desire to pray.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for that. And we cry out to you, Lord, for those who are suffering because they don't have that freedom. They don't have that freedom. Lord, have mercy. And now number two, and that is that we will pray for total dependency upon the Lord alone. Total dependency upon the Lord alone. And that is upon His word, upon His truth. And to cry out to Him is how that applies to each and every one of us and our family. I'll just all together say, Lord, we are so thankful that you offer yourself to us, that we can have that single-minded heart of love for you and to be dependent on you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. And now the third one is our commitment to live holy lives before God and all those around us. And the pastor used the example of how many of us are in churches or schools or groups or whatever setting where the person might be surprised to know that we're a Christian. If he would say anything about prayer, that it might shock someone, or if they knew that we went to church every Sunday, or prayed for them. Really, the people that we are around, our commitment to live holy lives before God and all those around us. The saying is, if you were indicted for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? So we'll pray, and we'll pray that if we're lacking in that area, that the Lord will open the doors for us so that we might be able to practice how we might become more visible in our faith. Opening the doors in areas where we might become more visible about our faith so that we really can bring the reality of the Lord's presence into those we work with. If we're in school or at a bus stop, wherever, that there would be a way that the Lord would give us all new opportunities to bring Him into the conversations. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. And now number four, that our passion to reach our neighbors, including those with Muslim backgrounds, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are wonderful tools out there to reach the Muslims, and that you could pray about an open door there as to how do I know. Most of these people have not been reached because no one wants to talk to them. So we need to pray, how, Lord, would you open a door that the Muslims that have been brought into our country could be evangelized. We have not gone in proper numbers to them, and so the Lord has brought them to us. And it is still under the premise that they need the Lord Jesus, and so they need our prayers as to how to bring them into faith with the Lord Jesus. So we'll pray about that. He will open a door for us that we will be able to dialogue with the people who are of Muslim Islamic faith, because they are waiting also for Jesus to return. He will come back according to their faith. He will tell the Christians that he was not crucified, that he did not die on the cross, and that they are to believe in Allah, that Allah is the one God. They are waiting for Isi, I think is how they say it, to return, and that is their faith. And so, in a way, this is a real door opener for you. You have no reason to fear talking to a Muslim person about Jesus.
Other one thing I would say, I watched the same video series she did. They do not have any hope of eternal life. The scales are balanced, and they may or they may not make it, even to the last day. It doesn't matter how many good works they did. They have no assurance of eternal life. And this is what they long to hear, that the Father would give them eternal life.
And that's the point. That's the point of the dialogue with them, is that when we go forth with Jesus in our hearts, with the way Jesus has transformed our lives, and we show them love and hope for eternity and forgiveness. They know no certainty of forgiveness at all. And so there are ways that you can talk with them, that their hearts are hungry. They're a very religious people. And so the fear of speaking to them should really be put aside. That's something I think that the media has created for us. They are more than willing to talk, and they're open. And it's the fact that no Christian, they say no Christian has ever talked to us. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you will open the doors, that you will give the opportunities to make these dialogues possible. You are waiting to win their hearts to yourself. And there are born again Christians who have been raised as ISIS warriors who know the truth and have come to you just simply because they have become aware of your love for them. And so, Lord, we just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we offer our prayers of devoting our hearts and lives to the one holy, true God of the universe. And that is that the Lord, the God, the creator of the universe, the whole creation speaks the truth and the reality of God. It is everywhere. There is no excuse. And God turns away from us. It's in Romans 1. God turns away from us because we have taken away from Him the credit for being the creator of our world, of our universe. And so our final prayers will be that we devote our lives to walking this highway of holiness towards God, our Creator, in thanksgiving. So we just cry out to you, Lord. We cry out to you. We ask you, give us a thankful heart. Give us an awareness of your holiness, Lord Jesus. As the Creator, you have created everything that's around us. And science proves you over and over and over again. And Lord, let us tread that path with all that we need, that we could take them along with us on this highway of holiness. Tell us that you have given us the gift of prayer, that your heart is open to us, that you hear our prayers, that you really ask us to pour out our hearts to you moment by moment with the things that are heavy on our hearts. And Lord, you know each one of us here in this room. We each have something that is prayable, available. And so, Lord, we ask that you would keep our thoughts and our whole thinking process, Lord Jesus, focused on you, Holy Spirit, on you, Father God, that our thought processes would be those of prayer, that we would be in dialogue with you over the issues that trouble us or burden us or cause us to grieve, that we would grieve with you over these things. And that you, Lord Jesus, then would come and work in and through us to your glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we're going to end with the song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. It's on that long piece of paper that's the prayer thing. Is there any, I don't want to close before we, is there anybody who has a prayer issue that really needs to be prayed about today that you would want us to just rise up all together as a group? A family situation or a sick person or something? Uh-huh. Why don't you come forward and pray? You pray for it and we'll join with you. Mm.